MG.
DB.
Here we are.
Here we are. It's been...
It's been a tumultuous few months.
It has. But it's been an absolute roller coaster ride.
Thank you for inviting me into your home once again here in the beautiful Surrey Hills.
No worries.
Inner CBD of Sydney.
Mm.
Or the outer inner CBD, as it were.
Yeah, it's sort of the northwest.
The northwest of the south inner
that's
outer
right, yeah.
CBD.
If you were to define a series of squares with some centering on the CBD, some centering on other areas, it is indeed the northwest
of
one of those squares.
And we've deliberately made the choice of trying to capture some of the ambiance of Surrey Hills.
There's a lot to take in.
It's
when I say there's a lot to take in, it's not just about you and I. It's just in general. Mm. That's a general statement I'm making.
Yes, it absolutely. There's we have sensory receptors, receptive to all sorts of
and for good reason
of inputs.
For good reason.
We've got a very exciting podcast.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, so we've got one topic to talk about, at least to begin with.
To begin with,
we're going to talk about lawn bowls. But look, you know, we can we could rattle on for days about that. So we might start with that, and we'll just see where the conversation takes us. It's an exploration.
That's right. Yeah. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a second. Okay.
Mm.
So our first topic, MG.
Yeah, let's kick it off.
Yeah.
Although this isn't a football sport, it's using your hands to roll bowls down a green.
That's
lawn
right.
Bowls.
Yeah, it's a sports derivative activity.
Yeah.
And derived from a general notion
of
sports.
Heart. You know? It's often lawn bowls is often associated with old people. But I'm here to tell you that some young people like to play lawn bowls.
Preach it to me, brother.
Yeah. And I'm preaching to the choir, in a sense. But, you know, it's not just for people who can't play other sports anymore. Often it's cast that way by people who play other sports, like, you know, cricket.
Yeah, yeah. But it's very diverse. Lawn bowls, and because of its diversity, because of its inclusion, it's the high levels of inclusivity.
Sport.
Yeah,
yeah.
It often gets
almost to an exclusive level.
Yeah,
it's so inclusive that you feel like you don't belong anymore.
A bit of a paradox.
Yeah,
yeah. Which few sports suffer from this, but really the level of athleticism a lawn bowls professional exhibits is unparalleled. There are a few
That's
other
right.
sports.
A high degree of fine-grained control that's required. You know, you can't just pick up a lawn bowl and just hurl it over that little brick wall that they usually have at the end of the green.
No.
Onto the
No. You have to
pedestrians.
Have very refined motor skills. And
understanding of physics as well. It may require a PhD.
Distance, force...
curvature of the earth.
That's right. Yeah,
the sun and the moon.
Yeah.
These all exert influences on the ball.
Also, meteorological knowledge is important.
Mm.
Things like humidity can affect a player's ability to launch a ball
and to predict its trajectory.
Exactly.
Which is why you often find lawn bowl facilities near airports, because you want to have it at a location where the meteorology, the long-term meteorological conditions, are well known.
Yeah, yeah, and who better to rub off against than airport controllers, air traffic controllers?
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. So
they know damn well what they're doing, and you know, all power to them.
Which brings us to what some people in the industry call extreme lawn bowls. I'm not talking about bocce here. I'm talking about lawn bowls, in extreme locations, sometimes within
the vortex,
high impact weather events.
Yeah, the vortex.
That's right.
So, a cyclone.
Yeah, or a
tornado,
hurricane. Yeah.
Typhoon.
There are
typhoon
extreme
front.
Lawn bowlers.
Yeah,
playing lawn bowls right now, as this hurricane is approaching the
some people like to play lawn bowls on floating pontoons. They'll do that.
Yeah, that's not an easy, it's not an easy sport.
No, it's by no means just something people do to pass pass the days away during their twilight years. Yeah. It's something that invigors,
that's
invigorates,
right. Yeah,
the mind,
yeah,
and the body.
Mm. There's also a meditative aspect to lawn bowls.
Mm.
It's not all extreme.
Mm.
A carefully lobbed lawn bowl can be a wondrous thing to behold, and earth oneself spiritually.
It's life affirming, is how I describe it. When you envision the bowl taking that parabolo from your hand to the jack, and you see it play out, it's evidence of a higher order. To this life.
That's right. That's right. For atheist listeners, you obviously have not lawn bowled.
No, and that order could mean anything.
That's right.
You know,
yeah. We here at Maestros of Prusa
spaghetti monster
pantheists,
for example,
pantheists, and this is compatible with lawn bowls.
Yeah, or people who marry trees. Some people marry trees. So even they are included.
Yeah, tree marriers.
Gaia, people who believe in Gaia.
Yeah.
People who believe that...
I happen to believe in Gaia.
The spirit of the earth.
The spirit of the earth, yeah. Mm. She's older than all of us.
Yeah.
In an aggregate sense.
We are here at her behest, some might say. I believe in Wallace.
Wallace.
The spirit of industrialization.
Ah, yes.
My personal god, but you know, that's neither here nor there. Yeah. DB, have you ever watched a UFC tournament? Start to finish?
Not start to finish. No, I've glimpsed at UFC with a friend of the show, JB.
Mm.
JB Borges.
Yep.
He tried to open that door for me, but
tried to show you the way.
I closed it shut.
There,
any insights you wish to share?
Well, there are events that they can be quite bloody. It's almost a bloodletting, a modern day Colosseum. But what the UFC
leaves you with is a desire for more.
Often I finish watching a UFC fight and I'll log straight onto bestgore.com and watch someone slashing at someone's abdomen with a machete just to finish me off, if you know what I mean.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Just to let me climax, so to speak.
Yes. We all have inner demons and we're honest about them.
Yeah.
You know? Most of society cowers behind the artifice of respectability.
Yeah, civilization.
And it's all just a show.
It's just that, it's an artifice. You got a hole in one there, to use an old lawn bowls joke. Back when lawn bowls was pre-lawn bowls, it was about lobbing the bowl into a hole.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a golf joke.
No.
Many people think this is golf related.
No, it's an old lawn bowls reference.
Lawn bowls. Lawn bowls, actually, to dip into the history a little bit, it actually predates all other sports.
It does.
It's an ancient sport.
It actually predates rocks.
It does.
Could you believe it?
Yeah.
It's
pre-tectonic.
It is. In a sense, I don't want to bore our listeners. That's not my intention here, but... The cosmic play, as someone once said, the cosmic play is actually just a play of lawn bowls.
Yeah.
You know, lawn is a metaphor for life.
For space.
Yeah.
For everything.
It's the medium.
And the nothingness in between the everything.
Yeah. It's a very zen, which is why it's a very zen sport.
It's a very, yeah, there's a spiritual tie.
A coming together.
Yeah. When you release that ball, you're only releasing it in a material sense.
Mm.
in a...
It'll forever be attached.
In a spiritual sense, to the hand you're only becoming it. More bound
yeah.
to it and the other balls
and
already
the other players,
on the grass.
Your comrades on the lawn bowls team.
Yeah. So this brings us to the competitive aspect of it, MG. Winning at lawn bowls. Is it about winning?
The winning-losing dynamic is more of a distraction, frankly, in my opinion. It's about very earthly desires and fears, winning and losing. You know, maybe you'll be playing against your friend Janet, and you'll win. And, you know, did you win because you wanted to, you're better at lawn bowls, or did you win because you weren't the one thinking about something else the whole time?
That's right, yeah. Mm. Yeah, no, I was playing against our mutual good friend Tacitus the other day, and he observed to me that although he was losing, he felt inside as though the notion of losing...
He had an inner peace that meant he didn't need these external rewards.
He didn't understand. He stopped understanding. Mid-game, what winning even
why
meant. It's just, you know, when you look at a word like say the word blob,
yeah,
and you just look at it for too long and it stops making sense.
Yeah,
it doesn't look
first
right.
You look at the word, you see the word, then you look at the letters,
yeah,
then you look at the parts of the letters, and you look at the pixels or the daubs of ink.
And for Tacitus, the notion of winning was lost to him for this period of time, this blissful moment of anti-capitalist fervor.
Well, you know, that's quite an amazing story, and thank you for sharing it.
Anytime, MG. Anytime.
Yeah. So, but we were before we went on this little
sojourn.
Exactly about lawn bowls. We were talking about UFC.
Yes.
And the bloodletting that comes with it.
Bring us home.
The sheer joy you get from watching as you flatten somebody's nose against their face, you know?
It's just...
Is that a joy or is it a tormentor?
I believe the Germans have a whole series of words about this. It's well studied. In the Anglo-Saxon cultures, we've really tried to... restrain the sentiment to like conceal it within
push it underground,
push it underground
or sublimate
said.
It perhaps
part of this artifice
into symphonies and things like that while we have the likes of Wagner.
Yes and exactly right. In the Germanic languages this it's actually well, you know, the Welsh have for every word describing a colour we have in English, the Welsh have 50. Much like the Germans have 50 words for every type of pain.
Much like the Eskimos who have 5 trillion words for snow, I've heard.
That's right, that's right.
Quite literally.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, it's exactly 5 trillion. So
they knew what they were doing.
Yeah, no, very, very precise, those Eskimos. And the Germans as well. Pleasure pain sounds a bit funny in English, but it's a real thing. And watching bloodletting is in fact integral to
it's a pleasure pain
psychology. It's a pleasure pain.
Yeah. If we don't see people come close to dying, you know, we might start not working efficiently.
Yeah. The important thing is that it's consensual. They know what they're doing.
They signed up to it.
That's right. There is another type of pleasure pain. Which we don't have a word for in English, lamentably, but it's pleasure pain in a non-consensual setting, and
is that pleasure in someone else's pain, or pleasure in your own pain?
That's pleasure in someone else's pain, but they're not experiencing the pain consensually.
Right, that you're just hurting them.
Yeah, that's right, and that is.
But that's a crime.
Yeah, that's wrong. Yeah. That's wrong. Let's we'll say it. That's wrong. And lawn bowls is not about that.
What about pleasure in your own pain? Is there a special German word for that?
I'm sure there is. MG, that it's a real thing. They'll have a word for it. I'm not a scholar of the German languages.
No, and I'll be the first to put my hand up and say that I'm not either. But I think it's worth investigating. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, so lawn bowls, quite a enriching activity for all of the reasons that we've mentioned up until now. Yeah. And how does one get to... Where's your closest lawn bowls, MG?
They're in all directions, DB.
Just pick a direction and walk.
I could almost walk in any cardinal direction.
Uh-huh.
And I'd find myself eventually reaching a lawn bowls...
You'd get there. You'd get there. Especially in this
club.
Country.
A lawn bowls club.
In this country. For our international listeners, simply purchase a ticket to Australia. It's probably the easiest way.
Yeah, come along. Have a roll, as they say. Roll a couple of ends.
Yeah.
See how you go.
You'll enjoy it.
You know.
But when, you know, you're flying to Australia, couple of points, if I may.
Well, you know, it's full of the most dangerous species on Earth. Every day you got to fight off taipans, right?
Yeah.
Redback spiders.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a day-to-day reality for us. Yeah. It's just how it goes.
Yeah, no. Look, Australia is a tough place.
Mate, it is a tough place. And any fair dinkum Aussie will know, you don't just go to the toilet in Australia without checking for taipans wrapped around the base of your toilet or in the S-bend.
Yeah.
They're sometimes up there. No, and they'll shimmy up and they'll inject you with some of the most toxic venom known to man.
Foreigners, you the reason you know an Australian plumber is because we all know our S-bends.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a natural job for Australians.
And we all know a good Sparky, don't we?
We all know a good Sparky because the other thing is that between the walls, behind the gyprock, that is a breeding zone. A breeding zone for scorpions.
Yeah. And redbacks.
And redbacks. I got
my Sparky in the other day to check the old spark box.
Yeah.
He opened up the spark box and he found a couple of redbacks mating, making more redbacks.
Yeah.
Taipan under the stomp that the bin. Out. Red belly black snake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Well,
kangaroos.
With this warning in mind, ladies and gents, when you're on your way to Australia, you've got to think about the last mile.
Mm.
How do you get, you know, fine, you'll land, you know, everyone knows how to deal with an airport, all you Europeans, you know, you've got airports all over the bloody place.
Yeah, you live on land, for God's sake.
That's right. You land, you then get out of the airport, and what do you do then?
Well, if MG. I may say so, Europeans are walking around carrying on like pork chops.
Yeah.
Because they don't understand that this country is full of the most venomous creatures known to man. Taipans, red-bellied black snakes, redbacks.
And the vast quantities of these animals. Just look at Australia. Look at the size of this place, all right?
It's vast.
It's vast. And every square inch of it is
great brown land.
Is occupied by these terrifying creatures.
I'm surprised they didn't. They weren't the first to actually start building cities and infrastructure.
Yeah. If it's not taipans and redbacks, you'll probably land in the wrong part of Australia, and you'll meet the cassowaries. These are interesting looking. You might want to go and pat one of these.
Yeah,
it's the last decision you'll ever make.
This isn't just a chicken, you know, that you might find in Europe somewhere. This is a large predatorial bird.
Yeah.
They eat pond apples. That's what they eat. It's an invasive species of apple.
Mm. So this is why Australia is unique in the world. And we want to talk about a very modern subject.
Mm.
Something that people are talking about in Europe, in the United States, and in other places. But here it's different.
The Americas.
And I want to bring up this topic of micro-mobility within the Australian context, MG. Will electric scooters do for that last mile? Will they do in this context of taipans, scorpions, cassowaries, redbacks, you name it?
Avoid all the constraints.
Let's just reel it back a bit. And why don't you explain to us just what micromobility is and how it affects us and how it might affect us in the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years?
Yeah, good point. Good point. Well, you see, we've got our infrastructure is geared towards long distance travel.
Mm.
You get on a train. You don't get on a train.
Now you say it. It's ringing true.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
That's right. You get into a car. Cars are designed to travel long distances.
Mm. And in one direction.
And in a singular direction. Not to be confused with just one. Singular. Mm. And
one direction at a time.
At a time. And so now we technology is allowing us, particularly batteries, the cheapening of lithium batteries, is allowing us to stick batteries in places where before you couldn't stick a battery.
Yeah, and for some people that's nothing to write home about, but for the average human being, that's something to write home about.
So you know,
for once we can stick the battery somewhere.
So there are many examples of micromobility, but say you have a pair of shoes with wheels on them, wheeled shoes. You can stick some batteries on those now and stand in a very rigid posture and let the batteries do the work.
Yeah.
And this gets you from the train station, which, you know, you've done the long distance public transport. Now you're at the train station.
Mm.
Get out of the train, walk out of the station, you're on the road, and engage wheel shoes.
You're back home.
This is micromobility.
Mm. It's the ability to move around.
Micro distances.
Yeah, smaller distances, like, say, from your living room to your kitchen,
mm-hmm.
or your kitchen back to your living room.
Yeah.
With minimal effort.
Now, we've heard of these plans in Victoria to integrate their public transport Mikey card system with micro mobility devices such as hoverboards, so that the you pay for your transportation, say from your living room to your kitchen, by tapping on a hoverboard and then tapping off.
Mm.
It's very controversial, MG.
Mm.
Why are we for this?
Well, you know, it's going to play out, isn't it? It's going to play itself out. Like a self-playing fiddle.
Proof is in the pudding.
The proof will be in the pudding, much like the raisins are in the pudding.
Yeah. We all know where the raisins are. But we don't yet know where the micromobility raisins are.
We don't know where it's going to land, so to speak. I reached out to Elon Musk, actually, on Twitter.
Yeah.
Didn't get a response, but...
Oh, that's odd.
The point is, even he doesn't know.
No.
Okay.
He doesn't.
And he's one of the most transformational tech leaders in force today.
Or ever.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. Look, I think that's about all we have to say about micromobility.
Mm.
But, you know, as with everything that we do here, it's not that
it's
telling
a launch pad.
You. We're not telling you.
No.
We're just sparking
not here
the
to
thought.
Dictate.
No, we're not.
You're the tinder, we're the spark. Yep. That's how we always sort of envision ourselves.
Yeah. And tomorrow is the flame.
Yeah. So go out there and tell your friends.